So how is the crisis in Ukraine being filtered through a political lens here at home? Senator John McCain called the president's foreign policy feckless. Sarah Palin had this to say about the strengths of two presidents facing off.
Look, it. People are looking at Putin as one who wrestles bears and drills for oil. They look at our president as one who wears mom jeans and equivocates and bloviates.
But the president just announced some of the actions he has taken in response to the crisis in Ukraine.
This morning, I signed an executive order that authorizes sanctions on individuals and entities responsible for violating the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine or for stealing the assets of the Ukrainian people. According to my guidance, the State Department has also put in place restrictions on the travel of certain individuals and officials. These decisions continue our efforts to impose a cost on Russia and those responsible for the situation in Crimea. And they also give us the flexibility to adjust our response going forward based on Russia's actions.
NPR Senior Washington Editor Ron Elving is here. Ron, the president announces visa sanctions and other sanctions. He's canceled preparations for the G8 summit in Sochi. What else do Republicans want him to do?
An excellent question, Robin. Obviously, what Republicans would really like to have President Obama do is leave office. They don't really have any concrete suggestions for additional things they would like to see the president do. Rather, it's proving a negative. They would like to have seen the president do something in the past that, in their minds, would have prevented or deterred Vladimir Putin from making this particular move into Crimea or from having the particular kind of relationship with Ukraine that he has. That, of course, presumes that there is anything that the president of the United States could have done to deter the president of Russia when it comes to a country, Ukraine, which is very much at the actual heart of what Russians still think of as the former Soviet Union. This is their Middle West. This is part of what they think of as their land. And the idea that Vladimir Putin would make up his mind about what to do about what's going on in Ukraine right now and the change of government there on the basis of whether or not Barack Obama would have done one thing or another thing with regard to Benghazi or with regard to Syria is really rather far-fetched.
Well, you mentioned the past, and others, like former Ambassador Nick Burns, we've spoken with him, are pointing to the 2008 invasion of Georgia. Now, back in 2008, President Bush famously said that he trusted Putin. He had looked into his eyes and was able to get a sense of his soul. But later that year, Russia moved troops into Georgia, leading the National Journal to write the story this week, Why Putin Plays Our Presidents for Fools. Now, put aside that claim for a moment. And is there a sense that, in fact, somewhat of the same thing, as Nick Burns said, happened back in 2008, that in a way, American presidents' hands might be tied?
We could have, at the time in 2008, done anything that the Republicans are currently contemplating, and it probably wouldn't have made any difference to the Russians in terms of moving into Georgia. We were clearly not going to commit troops there in 2008, and President George W. Bush did not do that. Earlier, when his father was president and the Russians cut up Moldova, another country that they still see as being within their ambit, President H.W. Bush didn't do anything. You want to go back to 1968 in the Prague Spring in Czechoslovakia, and LBJ, another cold warrior, was confronted with the Russians going in and crushing the aspirations of the Czechoslovakian people in 1968, and he didn't do anything because he couldn't do anything. And all the way back to 1956 and Budapest in Hungary, and General Dwight D. Eisenhower was the president of the United States, and he couldn't do anything to stop that because this is a part of the world in which our influence, in which our ability to operate in certainly in any kind of a military fashion is extremely limited.
It's funny you mentioned the military. We spoke with a general this week who said he wants to see more military action on the perimeter of the area, and there has been training renewed with some of our allies in the area, ships positioned in the area. Other military people have been asking those criticizing the administration to tone it down because, in effect, we're supposed to all be somewhat in the same boat at times like this. So the military has weighed in. But we are hearing more from President Obama today about what he plans to do. So let's just listen to a little.
Let international monitors into all of Ukraine, including Crimea, to ensure the rights of all Ukrainians are being respected, including ethnic Russians. Begin consultations between the government of Russia and Ukraine with the participation of the international community. Russia would maintain its basing rights in Crimea, provided that it abides by its agreements and respects Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity. And the world should support the people of Ukraine as they move to elections in May.
Ron Elving, it seems way too early to ask this question, but I will anyway for you to ponder it. Is there a sense of how this is affecting the president politically?
You know, there is a play that is currently on the boards in the American political theater, and that is the second term presidency play. And there is a subplot, if you will, a sideshow to that play, which is stop Hillary from succeeding Barack Obama as president in 2016. And so right now, the most important thing that can be said about any event anywhere in the world, whether it's a referendum in Crimea or an election in Ukraine, is what does it mean to Barack Obama and what does it tell us about his leadership? And that's why we're hearing all of these comments from people who, under different circumstances, might take a very different view of this particular crisis. But, you know, that old notion that politics stopped at the water's edge is probably a myth that never really existed. And it certainly doesn't exist in the global village that we live in today.
Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor. Thanks as always.
Thank you, Robin.